Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all these skills to address the subjects that we grapple with in this conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon, Tyler.
How are you?
I am quite well. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I'm doing well. Doing well. I had a great weekend, and now I'm back at work.
That's the way it should be. Ebbs and flows of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what's on your mind today?
Well, given that every store I've been into and every place I've gone has decorations already overflowing, clearly we are in the holiday season.
We are actually, we started the holiday season way before Halloween. Target already had their Christmas stuff up.
Everyone was ready to go. And I was talking to a friend who the day after Halloween put up all the Christmas decorations. I said, wow, she kind of skipped over Thanksgiving. And she said, no, we didn't skip Thanksgiving, but it's so late this year that we wanted to make sure we got to maximize our holiday fun.
What do you mean so late this year?
Well, because that's a kind of, I mean, it's different every year because it is the third Thursday. So usually it would be this week, and then you'd have a month until Christmas. But since it's next Thursday, then there's only almost 3 weeks till Christmas. So it's kind of compressed, all the things. Did you think Thanksgiving was this Thursday?
No, I thought it was next week, but I don't really understand space and time most of the time. So
you just looked so shocked when I said that.
I felt like it was a normal Thanksgiving like every year, but I guess it is.
Yeah, it's a little later. So for those who do kind of the whole holiday experience, it's a little compressed. So given that a week from today, people will be traveling and families will be arriving, I thought it would be a good time to have a conversation about family gatherings and the holidays and how to navigate sticky situations and to kind of set an intention to make the holidays a pleasant experience for everyone. And I know that, you know, family conversations are tricky because we all have such different dynamics in our family and different experiences. And so it's impossible to just lay out one story about here's what we should attempt to do over our holidays and think that it applies to everyone, because it doesn't and it can't. But there are some general guidelines that we can talk about or see if they apply to our family. And there's some things that we'll just have to kind of create on our own. But I wanted to address the mental health piece because I'm thinking about it as my whole family will be arriving next week. And I always want to make sure that it's something that's memorable. So that's kind of what's on my mind. And, you know, putting together our Instagram and Facebook photos every week, I try to tie it to the topic. And I don't know if you can see, I'm showing it to you through the window, but I have on both my Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT, and our Facebook page, Reluctant Therapist, three different pictures of my family over the years. And it struck me that in one of the pictures is my uncle. And he passed away last December, so this will be the first Thanksgiving that he's not there. And it just made me a bit nostalgic, because in the picture that's up on our Facebook page is our family Thanksgiving, probably from, I can't remember, 4 or 5 years ago. And my uncle wasn't mobile, so instead of him having to travel to where we were, down to my house, because I've hosted Thanksgiving for many years, we decided to take Thanksgiving to him. And we had Thanksgiving in our family warehouse. It's literally inside the warehouse with all of the product and things all around it, and the table was set, and it really looked beautiful. I'm looking at it, it was a really special day, and everybody really came together with this focus on wanting it to be a really special Thanksgiving for my uncle, because he couldn't travel and he would have been alone. Everyone had the same goal in mind, which was to make sure that he had a wonderful day. And so having kind of this group mission really, I think, set that Thanksgiving apart from a lot of just regular Thanksgivings where everyone kind of wanders in and it's just another year, and, you know, and there's the prickly relationships that always kind of flare up, and you know, the kids are growing, so their relationships change. It was really a special year. And then another, the other picture that is up there, there's actually three, but the other one is actually one of my husband and myself and my older daughter when she was about 6 months old, and we are dressed as pilgrims. So there you go. And just getting ready for the show and thinking about those family gatherings, I've thought about how much we've grown as a group over the years. I mean, not just in numbers. We started as a family of five, my parents, my brother and sister and I, and now we're up to 20 people that are there, including my sister-in-law and my cousin and her boys and all of our children. And now we have my granddaughter who's there and my son-in-law. Just we have grown a lot in numbers, but we've also grown as people. As the children age and they get more fun and more active and have more to contribute to the party and to the gathering, and as we all mature a bit and have appreciation for each other, I think the older we get, the more appreciation we have. Because I certainly look at this picture of myself when my daughter was 6 months old and we were going to Thanksgiving, and I was, you know, insecure and nervous about being a new mom and had her on her schedule, and I didn't want anyone to mess that up. And I remember just being annoyed the whole weekend at everyone because they didn't seem to, you know, care about the schedule I wanted to have for the baby because no one else had a baby, and you know, wanting to kind of find my place in the family. And now here I am, you know, 30 years later, and I'm hosting Thanksgiving, and my granddaughter's coming, and I'm sure my daughter has concerns about her daughter's schedule, and, you know, my cousin has concerns about her sons wanting to come and not wanting to come because they're teenagers now, and it's the last place they probably want to be is hanging out with all of us. You know, so our relationships have grown, we've grown, and the dynamics of what we expect every year have changed. So I'm thinking about my family's experience, and I'm thinking about how can we best create a holiday experience that is meaningful, that doesn't overly stress us out. I don't think any kind of gathering is stress-free, to be honest, even if you just have friends over or you don't have a set meal or you don't have, you know, presents involved. Anytime you gather with another person, even if it's just two of you, conflict can arise because conflict is a natural, normal part of the human experience. Whenever you have more than one person with opinions or thoughts about how something should go, you have the potential for conflict. Conflict really is how we address those feelings moving forward. Having the conflict, having disagreements, or, you know, wanting to have different foods or different activities, that's all normal and healthy, but it's how we address that conflict that really makes a difference in the quality of the experience of gathering or whether or not people want to gather again. And so one of the things I want to talk about today is not actually totally avoiding conflict, that in some ways, if we can anticipate the conflict and cut it off, or we can anticipate the conflict and talk about it, or if we can address previous conflicts and try to change the direction, that will actually be a way of setting up not just a holiday gathering that you survive, but actually a holiday gathering that can start a tradition of something you look forward to year after year.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question here, just food for thought. When you talk about conflict, are you talking about longstanding history conflict, annoyances between family members, or the conflict that is a very, I want to say almost American thing right now with the political divides that are going on within everyone's family?
So I knew you would go there. I knew you would go there.
All types of conflicts?
Well, that is on my list of things to address is what do we do with the political divide? Because it is huge and real for a lot of people. So we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
But yes, I'm thinking because there are different levels of conflict. So yes, I'm sorry, the smaller end, like what do we do if someone wants a steamed vegetable and another one wants a, you know, wants a casserole kind of conflict. But then there is the conflict of do we sit and watch football all day or do we, you know, have a family hike? Like those kind of conflicts.
Football.
But see, hike. But how do we navigate those conflicts? And yes, if there's longstanding conflicts, that there's, you know, tension that is there year after year, the first thing I'm going to say about that is don't come to the family holiday with the intention of dredging up those old conflicts and trying to heal them at the dinner. That's not going to work. That kind of work has to be done before the gathering, not at the gathering. And if I forget to say it, I do want to say that now, that families actually do better when they have more time together than just coming in for the 3 hours of a dinner and everyone leaves, because you never get over, right, the discomfort, or the you come in with kind of that anger ready to go, or you come in feeling anxious and then you just leave. If you have, you know, a few days and multiple activities and a few different gatherings, not that you all stay in the same room for 3 days, but if you have multiple times to get together over the course of a few days and other activities, you can really go a long ways for setting up different relationships with your siblings or relatives or grandparents, because you have different memories that you're making together. But if you just shoot in for that one meal and leave, the dynamic never has a chance to change.
Which is difficult. Over my family does this. We get together over the summer for that sort of get together. But over the Thanksgiving, it's just so hard because, I mean, we've got multiple divorces and multiple families and multiple different, so people are just rushing in for one Thanksgiving and taking off for another, you know? Yeah,
that is tough. And again, in the ideal world, you can have people for a few days, but no one has the perfect family system anymore. So this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. Today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Well, not just Thanksgiving, we're talking about the holidays in general, and memories of holidays gone well and memories of holidays gone poorly. And we're going to be opening up the phone lines if you'd like to call in with any concerns that you'd like to talk about or joys you'd like to share. If you had some secret to success, happy to hear it. You can be part of the conversation by calling us at 805-781-3875 or send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. As I mentioned before, find us on Instagram, Elizabeth_TRT, or Facebook, The Reluctant Therapist. You can see our photos and make comments there. And you can always listen to previous shows by visiting kcbx.org, find The Reluctant Therapist, or subscribe to our podcast by visiting NPR or your podcast app and look for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Subscribe and the show will be uploaded for you to listen at your convenience and to share with others if you're so inclined. So, all right, I'm excited to see where this goes today, Tyler. we'll open up those lines in a moment and see where it takes us. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along.
You're listening to A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and we're talking about the holiday season and how to set yourself up for a more successful family gathering. So let's start off with the most hopeful of the family scenarios. If you have a family that you're excited to see and you look forward to, you know, getting together every year, and your dynamic is mostly friendly, and there's just a few prickly relatives or relationships that, you know, you kind of watch out for, but overall the family gatherings are something that everyone looks forward to, it's important to have some sort of unity, something that brings everyone together, not just the meal, but have an activity that everyone can participate in. Because having an activity, whether it's going for a hike or there's a, you know, flag football game on the beach or playing some sort of game that everyone loves, like left, right, center, which is a lot of fun and simple and every age member of the family can play. But if you have some activity that's aside from the actual dinner, it kind of sets up this group experience and gives you some things to talk about as a group as the day progresses. You can talk about, you know, the football game or someone's great, you know, role for left, right, center or where you went on the hike. But having something as a focus of conversation really helps the family dynamic. And also wherever you're having that holiday gathering, if you're the host or hostess, try to create a couple pockets of fun activities around the house so everyone's not kind of on top of each other. Because most people, you know, have some TV or game room where there's probably football, as Tyler would want, and going on in some space. Maybe you have the room with Rock Band or video games for a different age group. Maybe you have another room with a puzzle and have different, you know, snacks or treats in different places so people can move from room to room and have different conversations with different people, and it kind of sets up a flow to the day and also keeps people kind of busy. Because one of the biggest challenges of family gatherings is too much idle time. When there's too much idle time is when we get into trouble. That's when maybe one or too many eggnogs are consumed, or people start to feel a little edgy or anxious because they're not really sure what to talk about anymore. They're running out of conversations. And so by having some planned distractions or crafts or projects, have everyone create their own name tag for their place at the table. You could, you know, set out all the supplies and have everyone say, you know, you need to make your place card, or you can have another station set up where people can write things that they're thankful for and you can share them at dinner. The more activities that you have that bring the group together and give them something to focus on, the less time there is to start nitpicking at each other. If you're just starting your family traditions and, you know, you're starting new or wanting to start new and haven't had them in the past, if you get to wipe the slate clean and start from the beginning, set up traditions, just like the song says. Having some sort of traditions is what holds families together generation after generation. There's actually been some fascinating research done on the strength of traditions and rituals in helping children as they grow. It's found that children who come from homes that have a strong family identity built around traditions, this is how we do it, every year we do it this way, you know, this is what we eat, this is the special food for this occasion, or this is the game we always play, or this is, you know, the thing we always talk about. Having set traditions that you can talk about throughout the year, like what's going to be your Thanksgiving share in front of everyone, or what is it that you're going to bring to share with your cousins, or what is something that you want to add to the family tree. By having traditions that you can look forward to for every event, then you talk about it throughout the year and you build this positive association with the holidays and with the gathering. Because it's anxiety provoking to gather with a lot of your family. I don't think I know a family that everyone is just harmoniously together all the time. It is more normal when you have a big group of people coming together that you'd have some people that, you know, you feel a little anxious to be with or aren't quite sure what to talk about with, or you have some conflict with. And so to reduce that anxiety, to help reduce the anxiety, to create these traditions that are set up year after year, give a sense of peace and predictability to the event. And for the people who come, they know what to expect. They know what's coming. And overall, for the kids, they have a strong sense of who their family is. And this translates out into their world and with their peers. And the research has found that kids who come from homes with strong family traditions are less likely to get involved in drugs, alcohol, have less behavior issues, are less likely to be anxious or depressed. I mean, those are big foundations for young people. Just the simple act of creating traditions that they can take with them out into the world. Not that they do the traditions with their friends, but if you know inside that I am part of something bigger than myself, that I have a family that has special things about them, things that they do every year, every gathering, it gives a sense of confidence and self-esteem that really helps ground children so that they aren't as likely to be led into peer group situations that are negative or to feel like they have to find a place to belong because they know they already belong with their family. And it all revolves around the family story. What is our story as a family? What are the things we believe in? What is it that we value? Who are we as a family? And that's a great project to work on if you don't have a family motto or a family story. But to ask the kids, what does it feel like to be part of our family? What are some things that you think are special about who we are as a group? You know, when you tell people about your family, what are some of the things you tell them? And let them tell you what is special. And then that will help you determine what kind of traditions you want to continue or maybe start. And if your family is experiencing a loss over the year, if this past year you've lost a loved one for whatever reason or have experienced a tragedy or a trauma, you know, a lot of families lost their homes to fire and to different floods around the country, and people have lost loved ones either through death or divorce. You know, those losses are strongly felt by everyone in the family, and having traditions that carry on even in the face of trauma or disaster or sadness help people heal. It helps the grieving process to move forward because although we still are feeling the sadness and the loss, we can count on the family getting together, having lasagna on Christmas Eve, or having, you know, the turkey dinner, or going for the family hike, or playing that game that everyone looks forward to, or going around the table and sharing something you're thankful for. If we continue those traditions, even without certain members of the family, it helps to continue the sense of stability, not just for the children, but for everyone involved. And the other part of creating family traditions is to make sure that everyone has a part in the activity, from the youngest to the oldest member. Everyone plays a role in some way, whether it's someone who reads the blessing or a story, someone's making place cards, or someone's in charge of making different parts of the family meal or bringing a game to play. Maybe you assign some of the younger kids, you know, to bring in a story they want to share or to put on some sort of entertainment of some kind. The key to tradition, though, is intention. Anything can be a tradition if you intend it to be. If you say, this is something we do every holiday because our family believes in this. This is, you know, we're eating this meal because it's how we come together and celebrate being a family. When you say out loud with intention what you are doing, it makes the event or the activity a tradition. So in our family, there's always a hike. Everyone has to go, no matter what your level of mobility or energy level is, everyone goes and participates to the fullest extent of their own capacity, whether it means only making it halfway or sitting at the bottom of the hill or waiting. We do that hike. It's something we look forward to choosing where we're going to go every year. And it's part of the family story. And we start talking about where's that hike going to be before we even show up for the activity. So by setting that intention, we are a family that does action. We are a family of action, and doing this hike is something we look forward to, or maybe not, depending on who you are in the family, but it is something we do. And one of the other traditions we've had forever is that we do go around the table and everyone has to share something they're thankful for that year. And everyone who is old enough to talk has something that they share. And I know for different members of my family, they dread speaking out loud in front of everyone, but they do it every year, which is a great model for their kids to see them doing something that they're uncomfortable with, but they still do it. So those are some positive ways that you can start creating a healthier family gathering. Remember, the key is that too much idle time gets us into trouble. Having things planned that involve everyone or have activities will help it move more quickly. So I'm Elizabeth Barrett. And this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. And our number is 805-781-3875. And I think we're ready to open up the phone lines and ask you, what are some of your family traditions? What are things you look forward to? Or is there something you're concerned about? Is there some part of your family dynamic that you're concerned about and you'd like to share? And I thought this would be a good time, Tyler, to share a little snippet from the movie Home for the Holidays, which stars Holly Hunter and Robert Downey Jr. If you haven't seen it, it's a wonderful family story that I think a lot of people will be able to relate to in many ways, because it's a big family with a lot of different personalities, a lot of strong personalities. And this particular scene is at the Thanksgiving table, where they're just getting ready to carve the turkey. And there are two turkeys on the table because two family members wanted to have their own special turkey. So they're each carving turkeys at either end of the table. And the conversation starts to ensue around the table with brother-in-laws and parents and siblings all kind of chiming in at the same time. So here's a little clip from Home for the Holidays.
Caveman. Now's the time to say, that's what we need. People making things and buying things and buying and making.
That I don't need.
No, certainly not greed.
No, I said need.
Give me a kiss.
All I'm trying to say is don't we all just get loaded down with all this stuff that we don't need? We get fat, like human cholesterol or something.
Is that my fault, too?
What? Leo, what are you saying?
Human cholesterol, Wally. Stuck in the system, right? Big gobs of,
Dad,
of human fat,
right?
Choking the economy.
Just eat them.
Huh?
Too much stuff.
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
Where?
Everywhere. We carry around all this excess baggage.
Exactly. What the hell's wrong with this guy?
You bet your cholesterol. That's what I got. And that's all this bozo in the White House is up to, among other things.
No politics on Thanksgiving.
What Walter was trying to say, Mr. Fish, is that Cassius came.
The point I was
because.
Making, Joanne, if I might make my own point, is that it is high time all banks got back to some rock-solid loan fundamentals again. For heaven's sakes.
Oh, easy, Walter, easy.
Claudia, enough already. For heaven's sakes, it's high time we all did. Get back.
Oh, your pills, Dad. Don't forget the ones with food.
Mm. The high-pressure ones.
Where
in
we
the
used
pocket.
To be. All of us.
Both pills,
together,
Dad.
Where we were.
How can I forget them? If I forget them, someone reminds me, or your mother reminds me, or...
I don't mean anything political.
Oh, who knows?
Just
what? For
everything.
Well, you eat too much. And he eats all day long. That's all he
eats. America.
Well, who buys that? I open a cabinet, there it is.
Tell him, Papa Cash, you're paying for it. You eat what you want.
Don't encourage them.
Oh, excuse me, Ms. Siddhartha.
Don't comment on things you don't understand.
Don't start with me, because you'll lose.
I said common sense. Nobody makes sense anymore.
Nothing makes sense anymore.
Right.
This brood, I'm trying to get an angle. So would you spot weld this, Mom?
And that's a clip from Home for the Holidays with Robert Downey Jr. and Holly Hunter. And a great tidbit of life around the dining room table over the holidays. And so today I'm opening up the phone lines to ask you what you're looking forward to about your holiday. Is there something that a tradition or an activity or something that makes it special for you? Or are you dreading this holiday season and needing some support or encouragement of how to get through the holidays that are coming your way? Or do you want to just, you know, share a happy memory? Our number is 805-781-3875. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. And before we head into a short break, I just want to share a couple more tips of how to manage the holiday season. And one of the things that comes up often is, what happens if we had a blowout the year before, or had, you know, something happen at a previous holiday that has made everyone nervous about coming back for the next holiday? Or how do we move forward when everything is kind of exploded, or people aren't getting along, or they've had some sort of conflict outside of the family gathering? How do we deal with that? First, ideally, we attend to those conflicts before we show up for the holiday. And to think about, you know, maybe apologizing, maybe having a conversation with this family member or friend or in-law, whoever it is, and say, hey, you know, I realize that, you know, this didn't go well, or we had this conflict, and I'm sorry for my part in it. Because conflict is always a dance. there is no conflict that happens in a one-sided way. No one can make us angry. We can choose to be angry by what's happening in the situation or respond with anger, but no one can make us angry. And also, we have our own peace in every situation. Even if we feel like we were attacked or wrongly accused or wrongly yelled at, there's some part of that conflict that we engaged in or we encouraged or we were a part of. And I think that's really hard quite often to accept, is that we always have a part in conflicts. And if we are willing to say ahead of time, I apologize for my piece in this and I want to have a better relationship, that opens a lot of opportunities to maybe start having a conversation or to heal that. Or maybe it doesn't heal it completely, but you can say, hey, I'd like to reset for this holiday season and I'm sorry, and I'd like to find some other way that we could be together or some way that we can enjoy the holiday and not have this tension between us. But again, ideally, it comes from an earlier conversation, not at the event. But if you don't see each other, you don't have time to talk ahead of time, then go to the event maybe with a little note that you've written on a card saying, hey, I'm sorry for last year. I want this year to be better. I look forward to chatting with you. Or pull them aside and apologize right away. Because an apology can go a long way. It may not fix everything. It may not make it better. You may not just have a harmonious time, but it's a step forward to help change the dynamic so that everyone in the family can feel more comfortable. Because when there's conflict in the family, it's not just between the two people, it's experienced by everyone. Our number is 805-781-3875. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. We'll be back to open the phone lines and take your calls.
They're there for your first year. They give you your first beer. When you get your heart broke, they're there for your worst year. Don't get you at all, but your apple don't fall too far from home. They own too much wicker and drink too much liquor. You'd wash your hands of them, the blood's always thicker. You might look just like them, that don't mean you like them, but you love them. Family is family, in church or in prison. You get what you get and you don't get to pick them. They might smoke like chimneys, but give you their kidneys. Yeah, friends come in handy.
That's Casey Musgraves, Family is Family. Have you heard that song, Tyler? It's perfect for today's topic. Our number is 805-781-3875. We're talking family gatherings. What are your thoughts on this topic? Hello, Jackie. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
I love this topic today, and I really appreciated what you said about having the house have different activities in different rooms. That's such a cool idea.
Thank you.
But I had a question.
Okay.
I was just thinking, wondering if you had any conversation tips for when you're sitting around the table and maybe people have shared what they're thankful for, and then, you know, somebody brings up politics and you might want to divert the conversation. Do you have any good, you know, questions to ask around the table or, you know, table topics, ideas?
That's it. Thank you for bringing that up, because Tyler had brought up before, and I think I'm somehow trying to consciously or unconsciously avoid this piece of it, because the politics conversation has really been challenging for families for the last few years, and I think has caused a lot of anxiety. But one of the things you just said, table topics, there's actually an entire set of cards that you can purchase called table topics, and they have family versions and more intellectual versions that you can purchase if you just want to have them out on the table, and people can just pick one and use that as a question starter. You can, if you've ever seen at a table setting where they have a little I can't picture what it is, but just a little place where you can stick in a card. You could also put just the name card, but next to the name card can be a table topic or a conversation starter there to suggest a conversation that can be had.
Oh, that's a fun idea.
So everyone kind of sets up at their table and they already see what has been suggested as a conversation starter. And the fun part, if you do it that way, when you're making the place cards, you get to kind of think what would be a fun question that this person might ask. Like if you have a 4 or 5 year old, you can have a topic that's, you know, appropriate for them. Like if you could be a unicorn, you know, where would you fly? Which would be a great thing for a youngster to ask on their card. And then for someone who's older, you know, it can be what is a place you look forward to visiting in your lifetime. And so we can direct away from politics by actually having planned and staged cards around the table. And I'm curious, Jackie, you're welcome. And so is there a Thanksgiving? Are you someone who looks forward to the family gatherings or dreads them or are neutral?
Oh, I can't wait. I get excited.
Okay. And what is it about your family's gatherings that you look forward to?
I enjoy our beach walks. We luckily get to have time to be together for more than one meal. And I really love going for walks, especially on the beach.
Yeah, there is something nice about having that big, wide open, flat area because you can walk at different paces and chat with different people along the way in your family group. And if people kind of get tired, they can sit down or sit out part of the walk and wait for the group to catch up.
Yeah, and it's flat, so it's good for all levels. We love that tradition.
I do. I love that too. All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Jackie, and I hope that you have a successful family conversation around the table.
Thanks.
Our number is 805-781-3875. What are your feelings about Thanksgiving? Do you have any concerns? Do you have any special memories? Do you have any tips? What's on your mind today? I have quite a few, but I'm happy to go any direction that you feel like going. So let's talk about the conversation because Jackie brought that up. If you are someone who are excited about your family gathering, if you're excited about getting together, but you're anxious about getting there and having family members ask you about your job or your lack of job or a boyfriend or lack of boyfriend or your goals or politics or basically anything that has to do with your personal life, if you're feeling anxious about those conversations coming towards you, then it'd be really helpful to come to your family gathering prepared with your own talking points. You know, come with something in your life that you're really excited to talk about. Because everyone has something that they're interested in, even if it's a hobby they recently took up or a book that they recently read or something that in the future you're looking forward to. We can help divert family from asking us questions about our lives that we're not ready to talk about or uncomfortable talking about by coming prepared with something you're excited to share. And then bring photos of that thing you're excited to talk about and share because people will be excited to sit around and kind of get to know you and what you're interested in from those photos. And along the same line, if you come back for your family gatherings, and I don't know, Tyler, if this is because I think you're the youngest in your family, but if you come back time after time to the family gatherings, families tend to see us as we were when we were young. We somehow get stuck in our roles that we played in our family system that we played when we were young. And even as adults and maybe turning to grandparents, if you go back home, your siblings or parents or aunts and uncles will always kind of see you in that same role. And it can be really hard to bust out of that, you know, that they're still talking about, you know, an event you attended when you were 14 or a time you had something embarrassing happen when you were 13 or something that you said at the holidays or spilled, you know, all the gravy on the table. Like somehow we can get stuck and pigeonholed in our life at a certain age and no one goes past it. So if you want to try to expand your relationships with family members to try to kind of change their vision or version of who you are, that's another great opportunity to bring some things to the family gathering that you're excited to share. It's things that you want other people to know about you. You know, a lot of times we hesitate to toot our own horn or to to talk about something we're proud of. But ideally, our family is the best place to come and brag about something we're excited about or to share news that we have. And the more that you bring your authentic self, the more you're willing to share some things about your lives, the more that humanizes you to the rest of your family, the more it makes you look a little vulnerable. And that is endearing. You know, people don't generally love us or are drawn to us because we look like we're perfect and have everything together. It's actually the opposite, that people are drawn to us and feel more comfortable with us or most comfortable with us when we show vulnerability, when we let people know that we have things that we're nervous about or we have foibles or things that we're embarrassed about. And when we're willing to share that and open up a little bit, not try to be so put together and perfect, we can actually build closer relationships, not just with family, but also with friends and acquaintances. That anytime you want to build a more intimate or closely tied relationship, allowing yourself to put your guard down a little bit and not be too sensitive if you don't get the immediate response that you're hoping, those can really help to build stronger relationships. So come to the family dinner, come to the family gathering with some things that you're excited to share. Now, having said that, there will probably be someone who might be a smart ass or doesn't take it the way you intended and might say something snarky or say something that you didn't expect. And it's easy to focus on that person's response. But try really hard to kind of put that aside and pay attention to all the positive responses you are getting. Because another reason we tend to have conflict in family or at family gatherings and gatherings in general is that we all, it's not just you, but we all tend to pay attention to the most negative feedback that we get. That it's hard to notice all of the positive that's around us. That we tend to get honed in or only notice or only look for ways that we might be slighted by someone. Because it's all really our perspective or the lens through which we're looking at our family or looking at the experience. If we go into the family gathering with this lens or belief that someone's trying to hurt my feelings or someone's going to say something mean or someone's going to disrespect me, or if that's what we go in with, then that's probably what we're going to see and notice, and that's going to be how it ends up. It's hard to imagine, but everything in life is attitude and story. And how we present ourselves and how we go into the event really determines how the event goes. Because if we go into an event saying, I'm just going to pay attention to the people who show me kindness and who I show kindness back to, and I'm going to only pay attention to loving exchanges, and I'm going to let go of and not pay attention to things that feel negative or sarcastic or are seemingly hurtful. You get to choose what you pay attention to and what you respond to, because we can't control the behaviors of other people in our family or in our lives. We can't control what they say to us or how they behave. What we can control is how we respond to those experiences. We can control if we are hurt or get angry back or retaliate or decide to, you know, grab our things and leave. We get to choose those responses. And so if you go into these events with a game plan, what is it I'm going to look forward to? Who are the people that I look forward to speaking with? What are some activities that I can bring to share with people who are interested? If I don't have the expectation that everyone's going to respond in the way that I need or want them to, then I'm not going to be disappointed. If I go with just the intention of, you know what? Here's something I'm interested in, here's something I enjoy, and here's something I'd like to share, and people either enjoy it or not, but I'm just going to let it be, your whole experience will be much different. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and our number is 805-781-3875. And, you know, Tyler, one of the other pieces of family gatherings that I think is really powerful, and maybe you can help brainstorm a couple. But when we go to family gatherings, again, we can dread some of the conversations. You know, what if it goes to politics? I hope they don't bring up, you know, something I did in my past. I hope my uncle doesn't keep, you know, talking about this one event we had where everyone got in a fight. If you're worried about those things, to come to the event with a conversation topic that you can actually talk about with every member of your family, something that they're interested in. So I imagine if you and I were going to a family event, if I came to the gathering with a lot of information about the New Orleans Saints, you and I would be able to have a conversation.
You'd be the only one in my family. Those are all Cowboys fans. So I'd love that.
Isn't it? It would be almost a surprise, right? If someone came in and said, hey, Tyler, I've been following your team. And here's what I learned. I mean, your face lit up even when I said that. You looked like, oh, that would be a pleasant surprise.
You know, we do have we have a large family, but we don't get to see each other a lot. So it is funny. We have like very specific things that I talk to different parts of my family about. Like one of my brothers is a football coach, so you know, we talk sports on that side. And then one of my brothers is a traveler, so we talk about that. So it's like I don't think we have all the common things, and then we tend to avoid politics in my family. So I don't know what the common thing would be. We have a wedding coming up in our family, so we can all kind of talk about that. That's sort of the thing that we can all talk about.
See, and that is also really helpful if you can think about it before you get there. What is some safe space that we can all kind of wrap ourselves around and be excited to talk about? Maybe it's a time where you had a great memory or planning something that's coming up in the future to find that kind of common ground, but also to come like you do with things that you can talk about with each family member. Because again, if we go into the family event expecting everyone to focus on making us feel comfortable, then we're going to be sorely disappointed because everyone is anxious. Everyone is preoccupied. You know, the people who are cooking the food are worried about the food being right. The people who are bringing items are hoping that what they bring is right. And everyone's worried about their kids behaving correctly and not knocking things over or biting their cousin. You know, we all show up with our own anxieties because we all want it to be nice. And that's the thing. No one shows up at a family event hoping that it ends up in a brawl. I mean, I've never met anyone with that intention. But wouldn't you say we all show up every time with the hopes that this is going to be a great gathering?
We're in a good spot in my family that everyone's sort of aged into a nice level, that everyone has a nice maturity. And even we've got some kids in the family, but they're still they're old. Everyone's responsible, whatever. I think what the thing is we do always like to find one person who's sort of like the in the doghouse. Like I was late to our summer get together like last summer, so that was the constant theme of the whole time.
So Tyler, you were the one everyone got to pick on.
Yes, I think we find one person to sort of single out and pick on the whole time.
But if everyone kind of gets to join in, right? If it's not always you, it can be kind of a funny thing. It might be one of the family traditions of the Pratt family is like, watch out because someone's going to be on the hot seat one year. In our family, we actually have two awards.
Okay.
Physical awards. One is, it's on a little marble stand, and it's a little newborn baby.
Okay.
And so that is the whiner award that you don't actually want to win. And that's for the person who complained the most or was the most whinier, most needier, annoying.
Who's been the winner of that one?
Well, here's the funny thing. That when the kids were younger, the idea that there was an award was all they cared about. They didn't really care about why they were getting that award. They just wanted to get the trophy. So in some ways it backfired a bit because they didn't really get it. Mm-hmm. But then as the kids got older, it felt like, you know, maybe feelings were going to be hurt if someone was the whiner and you couldn't give it to an adult. And that's where that whiner award started kind of lose its center focus because there was no fun way to give it to an adult without someone having their feelings hurt. Maybe. So we transitioned the Weiner Award to now we have this. I wish I brought it so you could see it. It's on a stand, a great trophy, and it's a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
So standing there with his arms out, and then it's kind of like the family champion. And that award goes to the person who was, you know, the most helpful or the most, you know, outgoing or did something nice for someone else or really pitched in, you know, someone who kind of won the family gathering or won the weekend by really being helpful and fun to be around. And so we have an opportunity to do nominations over the weekend. And then on Saturday, we see who got the most votes and then they get the award.
Huh. Okay.
Yes. Nice. So we're always trying to kind of encourage positive behaviors. And again, something that everyone can join in on and talk about and try to, then the idea is, hey, especially for the younger kids, try to catch people doing good things. You know, notice when someone does something nice for someone else or is helpful or makes you feel good, and then write that down and stick it in the jar. So then all weekend we're looking for good intentions instead of trying to always notice or finding ourselves always noticing when we've been slighted or someone hurt our feelings. It kind of shifts that lens or the focus.
You know something that I would be interested in knowing, and we're getting lower on time in the program, if at least anyone wants to call, but also they could always write in to you. I'd be interested in knowing is, you know, we talk a lot about the holidays, this American tradition of Thanksgiving and Christmas and the stresses of getting together. Are there any people out there that don't celebrate these holidays that have their own traditions of getting together and getting really stressed out?
Yes. You know? Is it just a Western culture thing that we dread the family traditions? Well, I would say that when I first started doing the show 10 years ago, that because I do a version of this every fall to kind of prepare us, that I would lean towards just the positives. Like all, I would just talk about creating that healthier family gathering and traditions and talking kindly. But given the phone calls we would get year after year or the emails I would get afterwards, it was a lot of people saying, I don't have a family. Oh. You know, that show made me feel kind of isolated or left out. Or, you know, I had to leave my family because it was just so awful and toxic and it wasn't healthy for me. And so I'm very conscious of that, you know, we have a wide spectrum of how people experience having been in a family or, you know, not participating today or the pain that's around that. And so I try to balance this idea that there are ways we can shoot for to improve what we have, but also to honor that if you can't participate with your family for a number of reasons, whether you, again, felt like you had to leave that family system or you were rejected by your family system, that how do you create that sense of family, friendsgiving or friends gathering to have some place to go? Because, you know, the holidays also traditionally have a high rate of depression. And a lot of people dread this period of time because it's full of joyful songs and gatherings and they don't have a place to fit in. And so I always like to encourage people to try to reframe this period of time for themselves as well, because we determine how we're going to maneuver through the holidays. And I think we get into habits of this is a bad time of year, so every year this is going to be a bad time of year for the rest of my life. And we can get so rooted in that we stop seeing that there are opportunities to do things differently, to be able to engage in different ways. That if you aren't a holiday person at all, what is something you can do that's completely different but still fills you in a way? You know, a lot of people travel over the holidays just to go to some place that doesn't celebrate in the Western style because they want to be removed from that and to avoid that pressure and stress.
Yeah, this year I'm doing Thanksgiving and then I'm working here over the winter holidays. So, you know, if you're alone on, you know, Christmas time, come find me at a bar downtown.
Yeah. I'll be there. Or call in the station. They can chat you up.
And then, then treating myself to, if I can work it out, go to Mexico to make up for the stress of the holidays and to try to have something not stressful. But as I was telling you earlier, it's stressful trying to plan a vacation. So I feel like stress is just going to be part of the holidays always.
And maybe that's a great reframe, is that we have to let go of the expectation that there's this magical unicorn place that we go to and it just looks like the picture, the Norman Rockwell picture of a holiday, which was literally just a picture. Because I'm sure right after they, you know, painted that picture, the parfait went over and someone's dress got ripped and someone had too much eggnog and the whole thing was ruined. And maybe that's what the key to survival is to enjoy kind of the macabre experience as a whole, that we try to create this beautiful picture of reindeers and snowflakes, but the underlying vibe is stress and tension and fear and anxiety and insecurity and all those human things that we experience all the time in our daily lives, that just because there is a tree and presence doesn't really change kind of the whole human experience. And maybe if we let go of those expectations that somehow this has to be more magical, it would help us relax a bit and then be more real and comfortable with each other. Because I think the more I'm talking about this, in all honesty, Tyler, I keep kind of landing on this intention piece, that to come to the events with intention. How do I want this event to be? And even write it down so that you can remind yourself, you know, this is what I'm looking for. I'm not going to look for ways that I'm being hurt or wounded or set apart. I'm going to look for the people who are saying kind things to me. I'm going to look for the ways that I feel welcomed. I'm going to look for the ways that I can make other people feel welcomed, and just to kind of shift the whole intention of the event. And the last thing I want to leave you with is the atmosphere or ambiance of our experience and how that impacts. I talked about having little activities set up so people could have things to do. But there's a huge energy around gatherings of people, right? Anytime. There is an energy that is flowing around, however you believe that to be. But have flowers out, fresh cut flowers. Sunflowers are especially sensitive. Roses are also very good, but roses and sunflowers actually absorb negative energies in a room. And you might notice if there's a lot of negative energies in the room, those flowers won't last as long as they normally would cut in a vase. But by having those flowers in the room, for whatever reason, it absorbs that negative energy and allows people to breathe easier. And then you could find a black rock. They're hard to find. I think if you go to Michael's stores, you can find them, but an all black rock about this size to fit in your palm. Put one in front of everyone's seat at the table, and they're energy releasers. If you hold a black rock, it draws the energy out of your body. And so if you're feeling tense or nervous or stressed or anxious, you hold that black rock and say, I am putting my energy into this rock. And when your hand feels hot and the rock feels hot, you can put it down and carry on. So this has been A Conversation with the Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and I look forward to hearing how your holidays went moving forward. You can get in touch with me by email, elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Reluctant Therapist. Check out our Instagram, elizabeth_TRT. Listen to previous shows at kcbx.org, or share this show through podcasts. Any way that you find them, subscribe, leave a review, let other people know we're here. And thank you, as always, for being a part of the conversation and supporting Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX. Let's go.